It's my great pleasure to introduce Thomas from Fluendo to talk about Fluemotion streaming media with Python and GStreamer.
So good morning, Sydney. Thanks for having me at your wonderful conference. It's been a real pleasure this week. So I'm from Belgium. I work in Spain for Fluendo. This talk will be about Fluemotion, the streaming server. And because normally I give a longer talk, this time I will calibrate my talk to the audience. So I wanted to know who of you is a developer here? Who writes Python code? Who writes C code? Who's a system administrator? Who's ever set up a streaming server of any kind before? And who likes to see demos? Okay. So I'll put this cup here, and I'll distribute some of your shiny silver money to some people at the front.
You don't want that back, right?
Well, it depends. We'll see how it goes. I've been told each of these coins is like worth 50 euros, so this is pretty much one day of my salary I'm distributing. The idea is that if a demo happens to work, you throw the money in the cup. If you really liked it, you can throw double the money. And hopefully I'll get some of these working today, because I had some issues yesterday, which I'll get into later. So anyway, now I have an idea what sort of things I can skip later on and which things are more important to focus on. So I'll get on with the rest of the talk. No, the slides are blue. Better? So just to get started, for those of you who don't know Fluendo, is there anyone who doesn't know Fluendo? Okay. Fluendo is a Spanish company. We do multimedia software, mostly based on GStreamer. And among other things, we have a streaming server that I'm talking about now, and also a platform supporting this one for commercial organizations. We write plugins and applications for GStreamer. In fact, our web shop went online this week, so you can go and buy legal Windows Media MPEG 4, MPEG 2 plugins. And we do consultancy work for Nokia, Intel, other companies, and we are writing a media center, Eliza. Now, Fluemotion is what I'm actually going to talk about. It's a streaming server, so basically the delivery of audio and video over the internet. It comes under the GPL, and for the proprietary parts, like Windows Media Support and so on, there is an advanced license. It's written in Python. It uses GStreamer Twisted. Currently focused mostly on live streaming, although there is some on-demand support. And the main feature is that it works completely distributed, so any components can run anywhere on the network, and it's easily extensible through the use of Python. So the first time that we actually streamed something with Fluemotion publicly was 2.5 years ago, the first Quadec that we streamed, and there we pushed around 90 megabit a second, which is already not too bad for a streaming server. We did a few releases over the past couple of years, and we did a really big streaming event, which is the Christmas Spanish Lottery, which is like the biggest lottery in the world, where they have little orphans singing out the numbers and the prize money and so on for 4 hours straight. I actually had to watch it because I had to make sure that everything went well. This happened last December. And January 19, which in fact is today, is the release of 040. So I did make this check run. And now I'll just let the release process continue so I can release at the end of my talk. So, Fluemotion. Some of the things that are important to know about Fluemotion is that contrary to a lot of other streaming servers, which mostly handle only one format because they're made by a commercial company and promote their own format, Fluemotion is made to support several formats. Today it already supports Fiora, Vorbis, Motion JPEG, Newlaw, and in the proprietary versions, things like Windows Media and since recently Flash Video 7. These things are not available in the free version, obviously, because we'd like our free version to promote the free codecs. What else can I tell you? We try and focus on usability because setting up a streaming server is not that easy. There's a lot of stuff you need to know. We try to make it as easy as possible. And we also try to create an end-to-end solution. So not only provide you the tools to do the streaming, but also the tools to let people do the watching. Who of you has never seen the Java applet Cortado? Okay, I'll quickly show that to you then. So Cortado is a Java applet that we made that has Fiora and Vorbis support in there. And it can do live streaming and on-demand streaming. And it has support for things like seeking. So for example, I can go to the middle of the clip. And all these things like audio and so on work even on very old VMs. And since it's Java, it has a tendency to hang once in a while, which it's doing right now. So the idea there is that we make sure that if you choose FluMotion to do streaming, that normally, if this works correctly, you can make sure that your people interested in the stream can watch it from home in their web browser without installing any additional software. So as I was saying before, FluMotion works completely distributed. So it involves a lot of components that abstract away some functionality, like accessing a webcam or a FireWire card. All these are source components which can be used to capture from any device and provide a raw stream. So much like GStreamer, on which it is based, it has this concept of putting together components into a complete pipeline and making everything very extensible and allowing you to swap out components to provide different functionality. So we wrote FluMotion because there are a number of things we wanted to achieve. One of the things is that we wanted to extend the basic use scenario of just taking a camera or a device and putting it on the net, which is what you can do with other streaming servers. We also want to make sure that you can combine the video and the audio in different ways, add effects to them, and so on, all in software. As computers become more and more powerful, this makes a lot more sense than buying very expensive video hardware mixing equipment, for example. The other features I'll skip for now because I already touched them briefly. Who's using FluMotion today? We've streamed 3 Guadex with it already. FUTCOM, which is a Fedora developer conference, has been using it. Fizzle, which is a very big conference in Brazil, has used it for streaming. LCA has used it the past few years, but not this year. I've been told that next year it will use FluMotion again. A bunch of radio stations, STVA, which is a Spanish television operator, which, for example, has done the national lottery streaming. And a bunch of random people like this guy you've probably already seen around. So who doesn't know what Twisted is? Okay, to keep it short, Twisted is sort of like a Swiss Army knife of Python and the internet. There's a lot of functionality in there, and if you are thinking of writing any sort of network-related program using Python, you should definitely give Twisted a try. The main concepts are a reactor, which is sort of a main loop, and something called deferred, which is a promise of a result later on. So you fire off a call, and later on you will get either the call succeeded or it didn't succeed, and the result. This allows you to program asynchronously, which is what they call cooperative multitasking, as opposed to threading, where you have to provide a lot of the blocking yourself. GStreamer, this is what Fluendo does a lot of work on. I hope that for all of you who use GStreamer, it has gotten a lot better over the last 2 years. With the 0.10 branch, because we spent a lot of time making sure that one is rock solid. It's written in C, optimized for speed, and it deals with a lot of multimedia libraries so that your program doesn't have to code specific support for all these formats and functionality. I'm going to skip this because I assume that you all know that GPL is not easy to combine with patented software for a distributor. If you care about having your software shipped to the US, Australia, and some other countries in the world, mixing GPL and patented concepts and software does not work very well. So I don't think there's a short-term solution for this, but the long-term solution is definitely to move towards free formats and patent unencumbered codecs like Fedora and Vorbis and those formats. Okay, so let's start with a simple test. I'm going to try and make a stream out of this webcam. So normally you would start FluMotion as a system service. I've already started it before this talk. So all I need to do now is connect with an admin. This is done because the manager and the worker, which I will explain later, can be on any machine. So there is more than one process involved in setting up a server. So I can connect with an admin client, and it will present me with a wizard because nothing is running yet. And in this wizard, I can choose, for example, the source, a web camera, and audio, the sound card, and click forward. Okay, I already have a problem. I don't know if you've noticed here, but it tells me that it cannot open a device and that I should check the permissions. In a perfect world, my distro would do this for me. Actually, this looks correct. Let's see what's going on. I have no idea what's going wrong here. Sorry? Yes. Actually, Should I blame that to Linux? Should I blame something else? Is it going to help if I blame it? Let's see. I just unplugged it to try again. I'm going to change permissions. Let's see what happens. So, that's better. Now it has a different problem. Is there anyone who can recommend actually a good working webcam? Because each time I need to do a talk, I spend some time fixing kernel drivers. Does anyone have a working webcam that works out of the box? No one? Okay, anyway, this time it told me what to name it. And it gave me some options, and I'm going to make it a little bigger. It's probably going to fail later on for more or less the same reasons. This driver is a PWC driver. It's been really unstable for a long while because someone keeps putting it in the kernel, and then Alan Cox keeps removing proprietary bits from it, and it's a little bit of a pain to find a good webcam. Normally, we do most of our streaming with FireWire and DVB, but that's not something I can easily demo in a presentation. Anyway, let's move on. I can put a little text on the video stream, so I'll put in LTA. I will choose to use ALSA because it's the new thing to do. Take from the microphone. Everything else, so we've set up the production side basically. You should tell me if I'm going too fast. But we set up the production side. Now we're choosing encoders and formats and so on. So in the previous slide, I could have gone for speaks, for example, as audio. I could have gone for multipart and then gotten different options. I'm going to go with the default bitrates and quality for video and audio. What I am going to do is save a file to disk. So here you can choose to, for example, only do audio and video, or only do audio. If you're doing a conference and you have users that are on a low bandwidth link, maybe they would like to hear the audio even though they can't see audio and video together. So this makes it very easy to do so. In this demo, all the components will run on my laptop. So we're pretty much ready, setting up everything. So I'm going to hit OF now and get everything started up. And now, basically, we will have a fork bond that is going to spawn a bunch of processes. It will take a bunch of time because each of these components runs inside its own process because it is not unlikely for something using a C library to crash. And all these sleepy faces have become happy now, which means that everything should be working. So I should be able to watch a stream. Is anyone throwing any money yet? Not convinced yet? Okay, I'll click on the stream URL then and see if I can get the player to do something. So this is the stream for this webcam. And I should make sure I don't get too much feedback actually. Thanks. Was that one or two? So when things work, when you have supported hardware, it's pretty easy to go through the wizard and set everything up for streaming. Now I'm going to show you a few more things. For example, to make stuff easier, we provide certain features that make it easier to make sure that you are recording correctly. So this, for example, is the audio input. And you can turn down the volume a little. If it's too loud, the meter will tell you if it's too loud. And then when I snap my fingers, you will see the meter reacts. When I'm talking, you will see the meter react. In the video, there are other controls. where you can change the contrast, brightness, and so on. And then the streamer components will give you statistics, tell you more about the whole, the number of users you had. Apparently someone else is connecting, I am seeing. So someone figured out my IP address, which is worrying because I turned off IP tables and SE Linux for this demo to work. That is a, yeah, that wasn't very smart. Remind me for my next talk to take that out then. Anyway, this is a sample run of Swimmotion. Sorry? Okay. I'm going to do a demo with you LPC later, and I'll actually need the network, so maybe it's better that you shut it down by that time, or maybe I'll kick you out instead. Anyway, that was a sample run through Swimmotion. So I'm going to go into a little bit more detail on what was actually happening. So there were three processes involved. One is a manager process. You only need one, and it can run anywhere. And it's basically the brain of the whole streaming server group. Then you will have one or more workers, and they will do the actual work. You can set up one worker on each of the machines that you want to do work, to have do work. And these workers will then start the components that you saw. And to control this whole thing, you can use an admin client. You can use more than one admin client, more than one type of admin client, and everyone will get the same view on the whole system. And any of these programs can run on anywhere on the network. So you don't need to set up GTK on your server. You can just install Swimmotion on the server without running an X, and then access it from your laptop. The components run inside the spawn of the worker. As I was saying before, it's not unlikely for stuff to crash. And it is a lot nicer to make sure that you know that something has crashed and that you can do something about it. So, for example, I guess this is a good way to kick out people that are watching right now. The PID is listed there, 16,074. I'm going to fake a segmentation fault. Is that the right one? Nope. And the component turns sad. Sad means something went really wrong, and the system administrator should do something to rectify the problem. In this case, I get the message that the component called an empty play to run short of target. However, the third empire wasn't watching, so you may need to configure the environment to burn the stumps so you can look at the ash. This is running in the Australian locale, because I always run in the locale of where I'm speaking. And I'm going to show you later on how we can actually make sense of that message for someone like me who doesn't understand the deeply intricate rules of cricket. Configuration. So to set up a streaming server, we haven't had to do much because the admin, the wizard does everything for us. But what the wizard actually does is generate an XML configuration that you can then hand edit, save, and import again. And you can also have it start up at boot time by putting it somewhere in the etc directory. But the configuration basically deals with a planet, which is the whole thing being managed by a manager. And on this planet, you have the idea of flows, like a river. And flows are components that together will do the streaming. So inside a flow, components can be connected. You cannot connect them across flows. It's just some terminology to make it easier to talk about these things. This is an example slide where more computers are involved. So the first computer is a slow machine and only does the capturing. The second computer is a dual CPU, dual core machine, so it can do a lot of the encoding. And you will see that it will make, I don't know if you can really read the text, but there are two components encoding audio and video. And there is one muxer taking both the audio and video, and another muxer taking the same audio. So you're encoding the audio only once. Then this computer will also save to disk for later. And there is a computer somewhere outside of the firewall on the internet where we are relaying the streams through. So this is very easy to set up with Swimmotion. Basically, in the wizard at the top right, there was a place where you could choose the worker to run a component on. So I'll dig a little deeper into the internals. How am I doing for time? Okay. So the streaming pretty much is done by making the connection on the Python level with Twisted and then handing off the file descriptor to GStreamer. And GStreamer will run in C in a separate thread, so there is no switching in the steady state. Unless something happens, everything is going on in C. Bundles is a way for us to take Python code, wrap it up, and send it from the manager to the worker. So all the code that implements the components only needs to be installed on the manager. The worker will always download the whole hierarchy of code from the manager, set everything up so that you can do a normal import, and everything will just work. It makes it very easy because you can change some code on the manager and, for example, restart the component or change the UI page you're looking at, and I will show that later. This is more API details. It's probably not that important now, so I'll skip it. State object. So because we are dealing with several processes, we need to keep track of what is happening with each component. So a component exists inside a worker process or as a spawn of the worker process, and there are things that the manager needs to know, like the PID, if the component is happy or sad, all these things. This then gets transferred to the manager, which is a central brain, and then this also gets transferred to the admin when you log in with an admin client. So even if there are three admin clients, they all get the same copy of information. And every update inside a worker is transferred to the manager and then to the admin that's listening. So it's sort of a model view controller architecture. What this means in practice, if this doesn't make much sense to you, is that, for example, if I am going to take Jan's computer, he already started the admin, which you can't see. But what you can see is that this doesn't crash because I noticed some strange behavior in PyGPK this morning. If I change this over here, I don't know if you noticed that the contrast went down. So I'll bring the brightness up, for example. And this gets proxied all the time through the manager, to the worker, and back on different machines. So if I'm here fixing a server problem in Australia and someone else is watching in Spain because I'm telling them here's how I do it, they will see exactly what I'm seeing. These are also implementation details. This is more for, I'm going to put the slides online. You can ask me questions, send me an email or something. I'll skip this one because I'm, sorry? Yeah, that's fine. 96% is plenty for this demo. So I was talking before about usability and making it nice for a user. One of the things that is really important is to get translations right. Now, it's an interesting challenge because normally, you work in a locale, you get an error message, and that's it. It's translated. Now, what we want to do is since I can connect with an admin here and someone in Japan or in Spain can connect with his admin client, after something has happened, we still want to be able to translate that message. We don't want the machine that is doing the translation translate in its local locale and then send us, for example, a Spanish version if I don't speak Spanish. So the way we solve this is by basically storing all the information that you normally need to do the translation and send all of that information across. And then all the message catalog files also get bundled and downloaded from the manager. So every admin translates locally something that has happened before even the admin connected. So everything I was seeing before was in the Australian locale, but I can connect, for example, with the Dutch locale. And what I'll do is I'll take a look at that error message from before, which has happened in the past, as you've all seen. I haven't actually translated this message yet. So what you can see is that the error message is in English. Everything else is in Dutch, like humeur, component, and so on. But this error message is still in English. However, it's telling me that there was no coredent, but it was a segmentation fault. And if I configure my environment, Fluemotion will actually give you the path to the coredent, and maybe in a future release, attach GDB, get a backtrace, and so on, allow you to file a bug immediately. That's the sort of things we want to do in the future. Okay. So the wizard is the thing that allows you to easily set up a configuration for the simple cases. And what the wizard does is it will go on every of the... So we're running a check, for example, because we want to see if there is a webcam attached. You will choose a worker in the top right corner, and it will actually send the code to see if there is a device present and try that code locally. So I will give you an idea of the things we do there by editing a file in my installed tree, which is something you should never do at home, because your package manager doesn't like this for good reason. But what I will do is put in a fake problem, basically say that I need a newer version of GStreamer for a certain kind of functionality. So I am going to stop everything here. I'm going to clear everything. This is the Dutch one, and I probably want to do this in the Australian one. Start the wizard. I'm just going to do the test one, just to show you the message you get. So what we're doing is telling the user that there is a problem at the time you run, not in dependencies that are statically put into the package when you install a package manager. Our idea is to move a lot more of these checks on versions or on devices and so on to the actual runtime. So it is recommending me to upgrade to GST plugins based on a newer version. And in the future, maybe we'll add a button that allows you to download this plugin and install it on the machine. Like I was saying before, I can only show you one worker, but that is where you would normally choose other workers. So I want to talk a little bit about what's new in the 0.4 release that we are doing today. The porter is an important part. That's pretty late.
Yeah.
Sorry. So in the new 0.4 release, one of the important things that we did was something that a lot of people complained about. You probably all know, as most of you are programmers, that there's only one process that can listen on the port and host combination. So since everything is a process, every streamer is also a separate process, and they have to live on different ports. A lot of people complained about it. So what we did was create a component that listens on the port. And how many of you do not know that you can pass file descriptors to another process? Everyone knows this? God, I feel really stupid because I didn't. So what you do is basically create a Unix domain socket. You give a file descriptor to the other component, and the components will say, okay, if there is an incoming request for this URL, send it to me. So the porter will do that for you. It's not in the wizard yet. You need to configure it manually, but there are examples. Other things we've done. We were using GStreamer before to do the TCP connection, but now everything is handled on the twisted level. So you only need one port for each worker open for your firewall. Everything will go through there. This also helped a lot in making sure that reconnection works a lot better. There were times where with a network problem, you could lose parts of the stream. Now they reconnect a lot faster and pick up where they left off. We've added an on-demand HTTP server, which is not that useful maybe for people who know Apache, but we keep getting questions that say, so how come you don't do on-demand? Okay, we added one day of work for a component that does this. There's an iCal-based bouncer. A bouncer is something that deals with authentication, lets you watch the stream or not. And there's an iCal-based disker. So you go in Evolution, you create an iCal file. The title of the event is the name of the file, and it will save out this file for you. So if you're doing a conference and your timing is good, which is not always the case in Spain, for example, you can actually prepare everything in advance. So some of the use cases we want to address in the future, things like picture-in-picture streams, multi-audio streams, so you record the video once and you record the translators as they speak. And so you can do, with one machine, you can do multilingual streams. Live annotation using Anadex is something I'd really like to have in there so that we could have a bot listen on IRC, for example, and everything that's typed gets put into the video and audio file. High-resolution slides using AUG and MNG with OpenOffice so that every time I hit space, it actually takes a picture and puts it in the live stream because it's pretty hard for a live stream to make the slides readable. It's a big problem when we're doing presentations like this. Some future ideas, I'll skip over them. RTSP is another question we get a lot. We have RTSP support in the advanced version. The reason it's not in the free version is simply because there was no free codec that was worth doing with RTP. So we funded the Ziff Foundation again. They found someone to draft up and implement the RTP specifications, and now we can move our code to the free version to support these formats with RTSP. So it will arrive this year. Making a product, I don't know if there's release engineers and people that are interested in this. Are you interested or should I skip? Okay, are you interested? Yes? No? Okay, not too many. So if you want, you can ask me later, and I'll just give some small examples. So I'll skip this one. But one of the things I really like about programming in Python that's a lot harder to do with C is that your development cycle can be a lot faster. I'm going to give you an example. So let's see. I started a manager and a worker here. This is my development copy, so this one will be a little slower. It's uninstalled. It has to do a lot more file reading and so on. But what I will do is I will start up a small flow, and I will change something in the UI. And then you will see that when you, without restarting anything, you will see that you can make changes in the UI and quickly develop the UI without having to wait every time for a recompile and so on. All you need to do is wait a long time for the Python code to actually be read off disk and scan your disk and so on. So let's see. Wow, that's pretty bad actually. So now all it's doing is reading off disk basically. I should have probably started it before the talk to make sure it was pre-cached. Yep. Okay, so here it is. So I'm doing pretty much the same things. Actually, there was already something running, so that's fine for me. I'll just start that and move it back to where I was. So again, a huge fork bomb hits my computer, spawns a bunch of processes, and will take some time to start up. Meanwhile, I will show you, for example, take the producer, for example. It has something called pattern here. So, oh, I'm on the wrong page. Here we go. Ah, that's an interesting feature. Apparently the size is per tab. Is it readable? Yes? No? Okay. So, the label, for example, is right here on this line. So if I change it and save it, I go to another tab and I go back, that piece of code has changed. So it's just a label, but any of the code that you do in there, you can just change and execute again. Let's do something stupid, and it may actually fail, but let's try and put in an error, see what happens. So that's a syntax error because there's no GK symbol. And that will tell me, for example, that there is a UI bug. So this is more like for programmers because you shouldn't ship your code like this, but at least it tells you exactly where the problem is because it says that in this file I'm editing on line 39 that GK is not defined. So that's easy to fix, go back. And the tab works again. Thanks. Same with glaze files. So, for example, on the HTTP streamer, all this, we try to use glaze much more because it's a lot easier to try and conform to the HIG, even though the HIG is pretty hard to implement in practice. We do at least try. So, where's my property editor? Here we are. So exactly the same thing here. Save it. Go back to this page. Again, the code gets loaded from the manager. Everything gets sent that it hasn't been updated recently yet, so if the hash changed or whatever. Everything that has stay the same will not be downloaded again. But this allows you to really develop very quickly these components. Let's go back to the rest. So this makes it a lot easier to focus on usability, which is one of our main goals, because every time you have to have a long compile cycle or whatever just to write a nice UI, you're just not going to end up doing it. This allows you to easily tweak all of the pixel settings and so on instead of stopping program, restarting, and so on. 5 minutes? Okay. I'll skip these. So if you want to hack on Slowmotion, it's pretty easy to get started. There is a Slowmotion template. It's a tarball. It's an SVN module. It has everything you need to write components like this completely outside of FluMotion. If FluMotion itself is too big for you to get started, there is an easy README. It takes you to the first steps of getting everything set up. It has all of the auto tool stuff done for you because a lot of people don't like doing that stuff. It has a component code, some UI code, a glade file, translations, everything set up with an explanation of how to do it. If you have any problems, feel free to send me a mail or ask me or whatever. And so every time I do a talk, I try to do something different with something that is relevant to the conference. And I was thinking I was going to try using the OLPC laptop this time to show you that we actually work distributed. Now, this is a very slow device, as you know, so all I can do is capture the video. And even then, it will depend on the sacrifices we all made to the network of over the week. So I can't promise anything. But what I did before was start a worker on here. So I should be able to actually log in. So I have in another branch entirely that I'm running because I had to do some custom changes for the OLPC. I have a manager and worker running. So again, it may take a while to start up the admin. But what I will do, oh, that's pretty fast. What I will do now, let's see, it should be the correct one. So it's waking up my manager and my worker, and again, giving me the configuration. And so there you can choose between localhost, my machine, and the OLPC. So I will take the webcam. I will not do audio because I don't want to text the machine too much. Sorry? No, this is a different problem. This is on, it's the same problem, but I'm still doing it on my machine. I actually want to do it on the OLPC machine. So it runs the check again. It will take a while to figure everything out because webcams are pretty slow at figuring out properties like frame rate and so on. But in the end, it arrives at giving me the details I need. So I will make it a little smaller because I'm going to try and do the demo over the wireless. And now for the overlay, it's going to default to the OLPC, and it's probably going to complain that it doesn't have a certain package. It is running a bunch of checks. Actually, it logged out. Let me see why that happened. I just restarted again. Yeah, it has lost the network. Let me see if I can bring it back. Okay, there it is. Yes or no? It just came up again?
Yes.
Okay. Let me see if I can see it here. Yeah, okay. Excellent. So I'm going to stream it on my local host. So at any time, I can choose the worker. But most of the time, it just saves the last one so that you can keep going. Because typically, you set something up in the beginning on one machine and further down the line at another machine. So let's see what happens now. That works as well now because my firmware is updated. That didn't work in the beginning of the week. So this will take even longer because the OLPC has like a, what is it, 366 megahertz? Doing all this Python stuff is pretty intensive. I would never recommend anyone to actually do streaming with FluMotion using this device. But it does, in fact, work. There are some bugs in the GStreamer, in the webcam drivers and the GStreamer handling of the driver. So you can see that the CPU is at 70% more or less. It's really trying very hard to wake up and get started. I'll give it a few more seconds. So there it goes. And now everything else needs to process a lot of backlog from the camera, hopefully work over the wireless, so this will all take a bit longer than it normally would. And this one will probably complain because something else is blocking a port. So let me fix that quickly. Let's see. Let's stop this one. And let's stop the other one here. And let's see if we can restart. So the component is set. That means I need to take action. I stopped it. I started again. And now the port should be available. There we go. There's also a huge memory leak in the GStreamer component for a V4L2 source. And it's probably going to rebuffer a lot as well, but let's see how far we can get. So, this is the OLPC, rebuffering already. So what we're doing is basically sending raw video frames over the wireless. We've all been using the wireless. I've had download speeds of like 1200 baud. I felt like 1991, pretty much. So this basically cannot keep up very well. I should probably do the demo again with Ethernet and USB and so on. But let's see if maybe we should try Amplayer for a change to give some other projects some due. Actually, look. Yep. Can you see this? So there's a small driver bug as well, because on the left-hand side, there's some green area where a black stripe is going up and down all the time. These are all small bugs that need to be fixed in the OLPC and in the GStreamer handling. And it's also lying about the frame rate. It tells me it's 7 frame rates and then sends a lot less frames. So basically, it's just increasing the latency all the time as we go because it's sending out the wrong information. So that also shows how easy it is to get started doing stuff on the OLPC. So if you're interested in that sort of stuff, you can get the SugarGH build environment up and running for the OLPC laptop. How far along are we? I think we're pretty much there. All I have left to talk about is what is going to happen in the future. Let me start the slide. Excellent. So for FluMotion, we want to add more codec support. We want to add direct support, for example. I'm really eager to port FluMotion and GStreamer to the PlayStation 3 because the added cores that you can use for processing would really help in increasing the quality and running more stuff at the same time. We'll try and get RTP in. High availability is something we've worked on our platform. We've built a lot of software on top of it. So if you want to have a good uptime, you can contact us for commercial support. The high-resolution slides in the stream is something I would really like to see happen sometime soon. And for Fluendo, what we're going to do is distribute more codecs, work more on the free software and the free codecs part. So we're, for example, working with the BBC to implement DIREC in a fast C version, or at least a lot faster than the reference implementation. Jan here is working on a DVD player that you will be able to buy this year. And we'll keep working on improving GStreamer and working with other companies. So all that's left for me to do is do my release. Let's see. Meanwhile, you can start asking questions because this is the end of my presentation. One is fine too. No one has questions over there?
You mentioned Theora over RTP. Do you have a time frame for that?
Do I have it?
Time frame?
So the spec is complete, more or less. There is implementation for it, at least for the decoding in GStreamer, I think. We need to add encoding support, so payloading. And then it's pretty much a matter of moving all the code that we have into base FluMotion. So I would say, let's say 3 to 4 months, something like that is realistic, I think. So while I'm uploading a tarball, I will also use a small tool to submit to FreshMeet, the new version of FluMotion. Question?
Yeah. The bit of code that actually caught my attention in your code base is the bundle code, the shipping bundles between processors, machines.
Uh-huh.
Is that a bit independent from the TrueMotion module, because like I would like to use it in some other stuff I'm doing.
Well, I think it would be useful for a lot of projects, and it's just a matter of finding a place to put it somewhere. So I'd be happy to take that piece of the code and relicense it if necessary, for example, move it to another project. It would fit great in Twisted, I think, but maybe I should discuss with the Twisted guys. Today you can already take it anyway under the GPL. It's pretty self-contained. There are two files. It should be very easy. There are unit tests and so on. So if you want, you can already take it today. If you want, you can discuss it later with me.
Any other questions?
Nothing?
No, then thank you very much for an informative talk.
Thank you. Anyone wants to get a mail? Shout out a mail address and I'll send you one. No one? No one cares? A release mail. You want to be... Sorry? What? What's the address for that? Yeah, let's not do that.
Venno@venno.ide.au.
If you have more questions, you can come to the phone and discuss with me.
Cool. Thanks. You're welcome.